Your word is living and powerful and active, and it's right here and it's right now, God. And God, I thank you for what you're speaking into people's hearts and people's lives as we're just in worship. And God, for what you want to do in us tonight and what you want to do with our lives, God. And God, I pray tonight as we hear from your word that we wouldn't be closed off to it, but that we would hear what you have to say, and God, we would be willing to listen and let you into our lives and let you shape and mold our lives, God, into what is pleasing to you and what can be used by you for your glory, Lord. God, thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, amen. I just really like that... that heart's abandoned kind of thing in that song, because I think sometimes we come to church and typically you wouldn't think that church was a place where your heart would be abandoned, but that's the kind of worship that God's interested in, is when you would just go, God, just that's it, that's all of it, like here's my heart, like the whole lot, there's nothing held back, there's no kind of inhibition or whatever about it. And I think what what's sad sometimes is that we think that like anywhere else in the world is where we're allowed to do that sort of thing, like our heart can be abandoned if we're watching a football game or something like that, or if we're out, like, I don't know, somewhere and you think you can really get into it and you can just do whatever you feel, and somehow that's been robbed from the church a bit, and I think we need to claim it back when we're in worship and just go, God, no, this is the place where I abandon my heart to you, and there's nothing else that I'd want to abandon my heart to. So yeah, I just love it, and I just encourage you, if you're getting in worship there and like people around you are kind of just, they're getting into it and they're going for it, and you can see that something's happening in them, but you're kind of feeling like nothing's really there, I don't know, just abandon your heart for a minute and just let God do something and let God speak something into you, because when you're closed off to it, you're not going to hear it, obviously. But we need to be people who are open to what God's trying to speak into our lives, yeah? Awesome. Thanks, guys. You guys can grab a seat. I have an interesting message tonight. That I think is something that's really been on my heart and that's on my heart, but maybe isn't a typical kind of end of the year, yay, it's Christmas kind of message. So it might seem a little bit odd, but bear with me, because I really think that God has something to say, and maybe it's for me, just me. I don't think so, though. I think that God has something to say for everybody. I want to talk about refinement. Everyone know what that word means?
Yes.
Refinement is like getting rid of all the rubbish in something so that it's pure and it can be used, or it can be as valuable as it's intended. And I was reading in Micah. And everybody know where Micah is?
Yes.
Awesome, a few people. Micah is one of the minor prophets. I encourage you to get like a reading plan thing, because I've been doing this reading plan. And it takes you to places where you don't usually read, because I think a lot of the time, like if you've been reading the Bible for a while, you find a few favorites and you tend to gravitate around like Acts and Romans and maybe a Gospel and Psalms every now and then, and you miss out on these little bits. But I was doing this reading plan, and God really spoke to me, and he spoke to me through some verses that were like, one was in Micah and one was in Hebrews, and they were both on the plan for the same day, and they both kind of just hit this same thing in me, and I was just like, man, if I wasn't doing that, then I would have missed that, because I would have still been reading just something that I usually read, and I would have been ignoring what guys like Micah had to say, but they're incredible, so that's just a bonus. Just get something where you're stretched to read kind of more of the Bible than you would normally. And I encourage you, if you haven't, to read through the whole thing. Now, it seems like a big job, but you can do it, and it's worth it. So anyway, Micah 4, verse 12. I was reading this in the message, and it really struck me. It says, so just as a background, Micah is a prophet and he's talking to Israel, to the people of Israel, and they're going through all sorts of rubbish and all sorts of bad stuff's happening to them, and they're in a bad way. But it says, these blasphemers have no idea what God is thinking and doing in this, in all the stuff that's happened. They don't know that this is the making of God's people, that they are wheat being threshed, gold being refined. That there's this stuff that's happening, and people are missing the fact that this is God making his people. That his people are gold, but that gold is being refined. And I think sometimes stuff happens in our life, and I'm not going to say tonight that every single bad thing that's happened to you is God refining you, because sometimes bad stuff just happens. And God can use that, but anyway. But maybe there's stuff that's happening in your life because God is making you. Yeah. And you sit, and sometimes we think, it's just too much, it's just hard, and so I'm going to give up. When God is making you. And when you think about refinement, so he talks about gold being refined. Does anybody know how you refine gold? You set a massive fire and you throw the gold in, and everything else that's not gold burns away. And then you're left with gold. I don't know if you've seen it. We went to one of those, Broken Hill or whatever, the Gold Rush. You know how they have those, what do they call them? Those towns that are like stuck back in that era. And then we went to the theme park. No, I'm joking. They had this thing where this guy was refining gold, and he gets this furnace just cranking, and then he sticks this gold in this crucible, just into this fire, and then the crucible, like the pot thing that they put it in, that thing's like glowing red, and the gold just turns into liquid, and all the stuff that's not gold, that gets rid of, it gets burnt away. And that's refining gold. Sounds like fun, yeah. So this isn't really maybe a fun message for everybody, but it's a good one. And I think sometimes we feel that stuff happening, that there's pressure on us, which sometimes is God putting pressure on us to make us the people that he knows we can be. But we give up, but we lose ground, and we cave to that. And we see the circumstance and the stuff that's going on, and we fail to see what God's doing in that circumstance. And we fail to see that could be the making of you. And I think sometimes we think that we can kind of, like the Christian life, like once I say, yep, God, I'm in, it's easy. But it's not. It's just not true. So I'm sorry if you've got that illusion. God's grace is incredible, and his burden is light, but he shapes us to the people that we can be. And we need to be people who can do that, because God has such a huge, incredible purpose for each and every one of us. And it is something bigger than what we could just do, or what is just average or normal, or what we could do without that kind of pressure and refinement to make us the people that we could be. And so we need to be people who can seek God first, and who can put aside the kind of earthly stuff and let God into our hearts, that we can understand that his thoughts and ways are higher, and we can just trust in that and just let God in to refine, to burn away the impurities, the stuff that doesn't honor him. And that's not an easy job. It's painful, and it hurts, and it's hard. But it's necessary, yeah? And I really feel like there's this simple, strong choice that God is putting there for us right now, and generally, and really for me as well. And it's this. It's like either you can be average and normal and live, and that would be fine. That would be okay. And you could do that if you wanted. Or you could let God have control of your life, and let God move in your heart, and let God refine you into the person that he's got for you, and let him shape your life. And that's the choice that we're faced with. And I know that what God has for me and what God has for us is so huge, and that it's so much better than anything that I could come up with myself or do in my own effort or do and keep all of the junk that I'm trying to hold on to, like that needs to be refined away from me. And so we need to become people who are worthy of the gospel, people who can fulfill God's plan. And that's not about some sort of self-righteous kind of being good enough thing, but it's about letting God control your life, yeah? And it's letting God into my life and letting Him refine me and letting Him refine us. And I know that I want my life to be pure gold, that it's something that's been refined by God that reflects His glory, because like when you see gold, like gold is valuable, yeah? But gold with impurities and with stuff in it is less valuable because it's not pure gold. That makes sense. You don't have to be a jeweler to know that. And so I think that's what we're up to in our lives. Like there is gold in our lives, but we could be people of pure gold that are incredibly valuable. And to do that, it takes giving stuff to God wholeheartedly and making those choices to honor Him with your life and having faith and humility and perseverance and all these fun words that we love, like hard work and determination and sacrifice, and you know, you can add your own. But it's worth it. I really believe it's worth it to have everything that God can have in our life. And for me, I don't want to be just average and okay. And I think that everybody's like, if you really ask yourself that question, then you don't want to be in that spot either, where you get to the end of your life and you go, yeah, it was okay. But I want to get to the end of my life and say, I did everything that I could to honor God, and I did everything that I could to fulfill the plan that God had for me. And because of what I did, there is this stuff, like this advancement for God's kingdom and this stuff that happened for God's glory because I gave up my own agenda and let God refine me. So my question tonight, and kind of what I want to talk about a bit, is how do we let God refine us? And how do we keep letting God refine us? How do we keep going when that gets painful? I was talking to one of my friends from uni a long time ago, like a couple of years ago, and he was just talking about how he was a Christian guy, and he was saying how he was just praying that God would refine him and how hard his year had been when he said that. And he's like, he said, it's like the most challenging prayer you can make is to say, God, just wreck me, just get rid of everything else in my life that's not of you. And that's not an easy thing to do. And so it's hard, and it's not the easy road. It's the narrow road in the story. But the fruit is there in the end, amen. And it's worth doing. And it means that God can use you in ways that He couldn't or He can't if you don't do that. And that's what we want. And so, yeah, so I kind of want to talk about how you can keep going and keep being refined when it hurts. Everyone with me?
Yeah.
People in the back? You're there? Cool. I like how your impersonation of someone in the back is to put on a high-pitched voice. Yeah, because it sounds higher from the back. It was good. Don't know how that makes sense at all. Anyway, number one, don't let yourself be discouraged by the circumstance. But trust God and don't lose sight of Him. I think, like I was saying before, sometimes we see all of the stuff that's going wrong and we fail to see God. We're just looking at stuff and just going, this is rubbish. My life sucks right now. Like, that's the place where you are. And we fail to see that maybe there's a reason for it. And maybe that reason is choices that we've made. Most likely it is. But maybe God's doing something in your life. And even if you have made those choices, God will use that to refine you and to build you into the person that He has for you to be. And we need to, if we're going to survive, if you're going to not jump out halfway through God refining you or a little bit in or not even kind of get off the blocks or into the fire, we need to see God in the circumstances and we need to understand what He's doing. 'Cause God wants to use us. He wants to us to be people that he can use. And so to do that, he needs to refine us and make us into that pure gold that he can just work with and that he can do and that is incredibly precious and valuable. And that means that stuff's going to happen you don't like. Maybe you'll be offended when you come to church because God wants you to learn patience or tolerance. I don't know. Maybe you won't know where your next pay is coming from because you need to learn how to trust God no matter what your circumstance and your situation is. Maybe things will go wrong because God is trying to build something in your life. And if you're in circumstance now, you can probably see how there's something that God might be wanting to do in that. But I think we can so easily let ourselves just be discouraged by that circumstance. And it is hard. I'm not trying to, paint a nice picture here. The reality is, when stuff like that is challenging and hard and stressful, it is challenging and hard and stressful. And it's not fun. And you get to those places where you're like, God, why are you doing this? And you can't see that purpose, but you need to hold on to it anyway. And I think that's what faith is. It's saying, I can't see what God's doing, but I'm going to trust him anyway with it. And if you can get yourself to that place, or if God can get to you to that place, then you're blessed. Because it means that no matter what happens in your life, you know that God has a plan and a purpose. And I think that's a huge thing. In Matthew 5, Jesus is just beginning to preach, and he says this. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So he says, you're blessed when this stuff is happening and when people are ripping you down and when you take a stand in your uni or your school for your faith and you get destroyed for it, you're blessed. That doesn't make sense, does it? It doesn't sound right. But we're blessed because God is shaping us into the people that he wants us to be. And we're blessed when circumstances kind of surround us because we can see that God has something better in mind. And that it's not about us settling for second best or average, but it's about us letting God refine our lives so that we can reflect his glory fully and purely. And we can have that righteousness that just comes through faith in Jesus. And we can do that because we're refined and we've let God do the hard yards and do the stuff in our lives that he needed to. Are you with me with this?
Yeah.
Good. So first one, don't let those circumstances discourage you. But see God in them all the time. And the second thing is know your value. When I was reading this passage in Micah, I was really struck that God calls us gold. Like that's the thing that he compares us to. Actually in that passage, he compares us to gold and to wheat, which... Now, those are huge commodities now in our culture, but in Israelite culture at the time, that was it. Like, that was how you lived. Like, you grew wheat or you had gold. And so these are like the most valuable things on the planet that God compares us to. That we are so valuable, that we are worth so much, that we're not something cheap that you wouldn't bother refining. But that we're worth doing that to. And I think sometimes, like, there's stuff, like, maybe you've seen kind of, like, you got, like, an old piece of furniture. And there's some old furniture that you just kind of put out the front of your house and people take it away for free. And there's some that you look at and you think that's worth restoring. And maybe you just throw it out anyway because you can't be bothered. But there's things we understand in life that there are some things that get thrown away and there are some things that are worth restoring and refining and bringing back. And so, like, in this story, we are called gold. We are not the stuff that gets burnt away from gold, but we're the gold, yeah? So it's not like you should get down about that being refined because really it means you're gold. And that's how God sees you. And I think we can get kind of in this spot where we're just like, this is just too hard. But if we remember that that's how God sees us, then it gives us something to hold on to. And in Hebrews 12, and this is the other one that I was reading in the same day that I read this Micah passage. I'll read from verse 4. It says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as children. It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his child.'" It says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children." Is everyone hearing that?
Yeah.
Okay. "For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate children at all. Moreover, we have all had parents who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live?" And I was... It keeps going and you can read. I don't want to just read the whole of Hebrews to you, but... What struck me with this passage was how God calls me his child, his son. If you're a girl, his daughter. And that's how he disciplines us. I remember when you were a kid and your parents would discipline you and you thought it was because they hated you. And you think, surely the only reason they are doing that is because they're malicious and evil and they're just getting a kick out of what they're doing. Nobody else ever thought like that. Josh still thinks like that. No, he doesn't. I'm joking. But then you later come to realize that your parents did that because they love you and they want you to be the best person that you can be. And so there's a reason that they tell you not to drink dishwashing liquid or something, because they know what's better for you than you do. And so they want to discipline you to stop you doing that way. And they want you to be a person of integrity and honesty and who will tell the truth and who will take responsibility. And so they don't let you just get away with rubbish. But they discipline you because they love you, yeah? Everyone can kind of understand that. And sometimes with God, we think that bad stuff's happening to us because we've done something wrong or just because God is angry or something like that. And we think, well, maybe if like it's just because of that thing that I did like last year or something that God's doing this to me or I don't even deserve this, God. I'm so perfect and you're just throwing all this stuff on me for no reason. I don't know what we think or what you think, but what's incredible about when God is refining us is that he's not doing it because he doesn't think we're valuable, but because of how valuable he thinks we are.
Yeah.
That we're gold and he wants us to be pure gold.
Yeah.
And so God sees us as worth refining. And I think sometimes we just need to remember that. And that's something for me that I need to remember. Just be like, when you feel like stuff is just getting too much, to be like, I am gold that's worth refining. And God is doing that because he loves me and his value for me is so high that he would take the time and the effort to turn me into the person that he knows I can be. And when you can see it that way, then it makes it just that bit easier to stick through and to not kind of just give up halfway through God's refinement. And the third thing is we need to be able to see the vision. We need to see how God sees us, the plan that he has for you, the things that he has, what you can be and what you can achieve. Because I think it's easy to get kind of stuck halfway. You're like, man, so much stuff has happened. I feel so refined. I'm good now. And close enough is good enough. But God doesn't want to take us halfway. He wants to create people who can achieve the incredible plans that God has for them. And any time that you try and achieve what God has for you without his empowerment and without him creating that into your life and building you into that person, you're going to fail because you can't get there, yeah?
Yeah.
In Zechariah, another one, look at that. He's another minor prophet. They're getting a good run today because they never get a run. So, going to give him a chance. Zechariah 13, it says... He's talking about cleansing the Israelites from sin. And he says, "The third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They'll call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, 'They are my people,' and they will say, the Lord is our God. And I was struck by this because God says, I'm going to take this group of people and I'm going to test them. I'm going to refine them like gold or like silver. So that means I'm going to throw them in the fire. Yeah? And when I do that, then they'll call on my name when they've been tested and I'll say, they're my people. If I'm there and I'll call on God and God will just say, here's my son. He's my person. He's mine. Because he was tested and refined and didn't give up. And he's become the person that I can say, that God can say about you, you're my person. He can say about us, we are his people. And we can say, you are our God, Lord. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants for us. And if we can be people that can withstand the refinement, then that's the vision. And the rest of Micah 4, the next verse, that one that I read at the start, verse 13, it says this. On your feet, daughter of Zion, be threshed of chaff, refined of dross. So dross is the rubbish in gold. I am remaking you into a people invincible, into God's juggernaut. I thought that was cool. Because this is the vision that God has for the people that he wants to refine. He says, I'm going to make you into invincible people, a juggernaut. Like, that's the sort of language that he's using. And that's incredible to say, if I can just kind of let God in and let him do the stuff that he needs to in my life, then I'll be invincible. Come on. That's pretty cool. I just think that's amazing that's the plan that God has, that he doesn't want us to kind of get almost there or just kind of cruise in an average, fine, okay kind of life. But he wants us to live lives of impact, lives that affect the people around us, that like some invincible juggernaut, you would run through your workplace or your school or your university and people would see it and they wouldn't be able to stop you because you're an invincible juggernaut. Right. Yeah. Come on. You're like this solid gold juggernaut. That's awesome. Anybody else excited by that? I'm excited by that. So we need to see the vision that God has for us, and that's the vision that God has for us. Not mediocre or okay, not just scraping by. Not barely holding it together, but this invincible juggernaut that just can just push through and can do what God has planned for us to do, which is so huge and so incredible, yeah? So I think, just as I finish up, we have this really clear choice to, and I really feel like it's a choice that maybe we need to make every day. But I really feel like God's saying to me at the moment in my life, like, this is the choice that you're making. And don't forget that choice kind of thing. We can choose to live an average life. And God will let you do that. Like, he's not going to force refine you. He's not that sort of God. If you don't want it, he won't. And so you can choose to be average and okay and cruise through and get to the end and be okay. Or you can choose to let God refine your life and turn you into pure gold, into this pure gold, invincible juggernaut, cool thing that does what God has for you. And that's the choice that we've got. It's like okay or pure gold. And that seems like an easy choice when you say it like that. But it's easy to choose maybe, but hard to live out. And so I just really want to encourage you to think about that choice. And when we live our lives, when we go on day to day, when temptation arises or circumstances arise, to think about that choice. Yeah. And I think that a lot of letting God refine you is to be sensitive to what he's saying and to make those right choices all the time, because stuff will come up. And a lot of it is just like, some of it is just rubbish because we live in a fallen world. And some of it is God just really refining you and testing you. And so don't go, oh, this is all too hard, I just want to give up and just walk away. But say, no, God, this is you turning me into the person that I know I can be and that you know I can be. And this is me becoming the person that can fulfill the plan that you have for my life. And so I'm going to let you refine me. And when I think about my life and everything that God's doing with our church and with Explosion, the more I think about it and seek God about it, I realize that I cannot be the person that is just average and do the things that God has. Because what God has for us is so much bigger than what we can do in our own effort and our own strength. And we need Him to just wreck our lives until there's nothing else left but His glory and pure gold, yeah? And so, yeah, that's it. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for your love and your grace towards us, that you care for us so much, that God, that you sent your Son to die for us and to take away the punishment for our sin, but God, you weren't happy for us just to kind of live out our lives in an average way, but that you want to turn us into pure gold. God, you see us as gold and we're worth refining. And God, I just thank you for that. God, I pray that you would really challenge us about that question, Lord, of how we live our lives and really prompt us as stuff comes up, Lord, to make that choice. And yeah, God, just thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you've got planned for us, for just the incredible things that you have in store. Thank you. I just want to pray with people tonight if you're really feeling maybe like you want to make that choice and you want to kind of make that or say that scary, challenging prayer of God, refine me, then I want to pray that with you if you want. So if you just want to maybe put your hand up while everyone's heads are bowed and everyone's eyes are closed, just awesome. Doesn't matter if you don't know God or if you've been a Christian for 100 years. Cool. Let's just stand, hey? Everyone just stand together and just raise your arms to God if you want to pray that with me. And let's just... So maybe just pray after me with that if you want. Father God, thank you for your love for me. Pray that you would be real in my heart, that you would refine me. I give it all to you. I surrender my life to your will. God, make me pure gold so that I can fulfill the plans you have for me. Amen. Awesome. I just encourage you just maybe to go home if you're praying that and really seek God about it, because I think that it's a continual decision, but it's a big thing too, and it's not a simple kind of... It's a scary thing to really give to God and say, okay, God, I'm giving you carte blanche to refine my life, because he'll get rid of stuff that you really want. Kind of thing like that. That's what happens. So yeah, that's cool. Alright, amen. These guys are going to come and play a song to finish up. Hang around and pull some carpet up or something.
How is everyone? Pretty good.